from back in my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's about to recap tonight's slow motion car accident. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our live show here on Sunday night, September 15th, where we got an episode basically of what happened during the live feed blackout on Thursday, and of course, the HOH competition, and I'm very excited to talk about it all with our panel tonight. First, joining us, it's a great tradition to have her on the Big Brother podcast every single season. You know her from the MTV reality wrap-ups. She's the millennial judge. Please welcome the great Allie Lasher. Allie, how are you?
You may also know me from being the girl you don't know in the back of know-it-alls to take a full moment standing wave when you said my name. I'm great. I love normally coming on at the end of a Big Brother season when there's nothing interesting to talk about, maybe hit a recap of the recap. So I was sweating watching last Thursday's episode and then finding out that Sunday's episode, tonight's episode, was just going to be a full-fledged drama fest. I could not have been more excited.
Oh, good.
I am so ready to talk about this.
Good. Yeah, we have a bottle episode basically to talk about everything that went out on Thursday. And of course, the man who was blacked out on Thursday, but only from the live feeds. Please welcome the great Tarrant Armstrong. Tarrant, how are you?
I'm disgusted.
No.
Rob.
Why?
I'm disgusted that you can sit there and stand by bringing on Allie to this podcast after the lies that she has told about me. Stand up for yourself, Rob.
Own it, Allie.
Is this about the sexual tension I said you had with Caitlin?
Yes.
Sorry to bring the podcast to a screeching halt. Don't bring me into this.
All right, we're gonna have a lot of fun tonight here with Allie Lasher.
Really
walked right into it. Hashtag RHAP. We'll take your questions later on in the show. Allie, will you share any more stories from your experience at the live show on Thursday night later on in the podcast?
Oh, sure. I mean, that was really the main headline. I wasn't going to bring it up now on the podcast, but sure, it's a no holds bar. The gloves are off, as Holly said. So
yeah,
the
gloves are off now. All right. So we'll talk about all that plus spoilers from the weekend. The final four veto played out. We'll talk about the ramifications of that later on in the show here as we are sneaking up now. What, Taryn, 10 days to the finale?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, all right. It's all happening, but we got to see so much of what went down on Thursday. Taryn, I feel like we spent even more time than I think I anticipated about what went on Thursday.
Yeah, I was expecting less, and I'm very pleased with how much we got. It was really like a multi-part saga, and it definitely deserved it, and I'm really glad that they didn't spend too much time elsewhere.
Yeah, and Allie, we got to see the big fight that they teased, and we'll talk about all that. But it really seemed like, you know, 40 minutes into the episode, seemed like they're like, all right, well, Holly's still going home. How does this gonna ultimately turn around?
Yeah, it was actually crazy. I mean, the emotional labor we all put into watching this episode, like I was truly exhausted by the end of it, and it was only an hour. But yeah, I think it was like the main stuff happened an hour and 20 minutes to live show was like the bottom third going on. That was unbelievable that so much would change. And I mean, we're going to, I'm sure, talk about whether or not Mitchie is, I call him Mitchie. I know Scott brought that up on when he was on with you. And I don't have a wife to tell me not to do that. So I've been calling him Mitchie. I'll continue to do so. But he, like, is he a master game player? Is he a horrific manipulator? Is he a little bit of both? Is he your worst nightmare? Like, I'm not sure. I don't know how he flipped this around. But I think more, while we'll give credit to Mitchie, we have to take a lot more away from Cliff. I have to yeah. pronounce my Cliff fandom.
Yes. We need Eric Stein to call in and update us on the oofometer and what the levels are. Because I feel like that the headline tonight, where on Thursday we talked about Jackson, a.k.a. Mitchie, the mastermind. I feel like that tonight the story was more of Cliff being bad than Jackson being phenomenal.
That definitely was how it felt. The way that they portrayed it was that Nicole kind of saw through it, and then Cliff encouraged her, even though, you know, regardless of whether or not it was true, that he thought that it was the better move for his game that Tommy goes. And so he kind of pushed it through anyway. We did hear from Nicole after the fact that after Jackson said, "Own it," she did have a moment of, oh, I don't think he's telling the truth. But then the second round, she was actually more swayed. And that's what allowed Cliff to get in there and convince her to go the other way.
Okay, so let's go through it, and then we'll talk through the good and the bad of all of this. And so we're going to start with this house meeting, Allie. And we, as Big Brother fans, we always love a house meeting. And we got to see basically Tommy and Jackson really have it out over whether or not Tommy said these things. Basically, if he laid his entire plan out to Jackson for seemingly no reason.
Yeah, I mean, that was such a confusing thing, because I was expecting in the house, like, based on what we heard leading up to Sunday, I was expecting this house, and seeing how the vote went, I was expecting the house meeting to be Tommy totally falling apart, totally not defending himself, not saying the right things. And aside from yelling at Holly, maybe, like, he was pretty much keeping it together. Like, what more should Tommy have done here? He was saying it makes no sense at all. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm still shook. I'm still shook.
Here's a little bit of a clip from Tommy defending himself at the house meeting.
Tommy. This is killing me.
Tommy.
This is a lie, and you need to stand up for yourself now.
She didn't know anything about it. Don't bring her into this.
I didn't say any of that. I didn't say any of that. She wasn't in this room.
But she matched his, and he matched Jackson's earlier energy, because Jackson came in hot and yelling and emotional, and Tommy, for 90% of it, was just, you know, keeping his cool, chuckling a little bit, I thought remaining calm, saying his points well. And then, yeah, he lost it a little bit, but wouldn't you?
Taryn, a lot was made during Taco Tuesday about how, you know, Nick was flying off the handle. Christy was more calm, cool, and collected. And people ultimately came down more on Christy. So how do you think Tommy ended up handling himself in defending his good name?
Well, I do think that Taco Tuesday aside, because I do think that they were both kind of upset, and I actually feel like they kind of went on Nick's side initially, at least. It just ended up working out for Christy because she got what she needed to get done. I don't think it was about necessarily which side got more heated, but it was about Jackson in this moment getting what he needed to get done. And he says it in the diary room that his goal was not to necessarily fully convince them of that his side was right. It was to just keep piling on to enough so that there was too much to sift through and it clouded their judgment, and there was enough uncertainty that they that he would be able to slip in there, that Cliff would be able to slip in there, and that the decision could be made in their favor.
Yeah. I thought, Allie, Tommy's logic was a little confusing, because he was trying to sort of, when Jackson was calling him a liar, he was, yes, I've lied. But, you know, he was sort of like trying, but where Jackson was just so like black and white, cut and dry. Like, I think that Tommy was really trying to get into the nuance of what was going on. And I feel like that it wasn't serving him incredibly well.
Well, first, I look much better in the tighter square, so I'm a bit upset about the change. But no, I think that's fair. But I think it was more what Nicole was reading, what I wish Cliff and Nicole both stayed with, is less about what was actually being said and more in the context clues. That's where the tells were, right? Like what we discussed on Thursday about, well, I wasn't discussing it, what you guys discussed on Thursday, that Tommy's ready to do the house meeting right away. Mitchie says, let's wait until tomorrow. Then, like, look at Holly in that moment. Clearly, Mitchie is lying. Holly is there plugging her ears, like, in the fetal position, you know? And like Tommy does say, Jackson, you're able to repeat this point over and over because you made it up. Like, Tommy was flustered because he was being confronted with a complete bold-faced lie and somebody who, like, was unwavering in that. So I almost think, you know, it's easy for me to say watching the show, but if Nicole and Cliff had clear heads, maybe not 800 days into the Big Brother house, they would have been able to see that somebody just rehearsing their one line over and over is actually more likely to be being dishonest than Tommy, who's just like confused and crying.
To go back to Holly, here's a quote from her during this fight from the diary room.
If Cliff and Nicole had stuck to their word, this would have been a straightforward week.
Yeah. Look, she can't feel bad, Taryn, because they didn't have to break their deal with them.
Yeah, I mean, it's all their fault, and they would not have to lie if they would just have not betrayed them. That's what it comes down to. But yeah, I mean, she is definitely in a position where she did not even want to do this. She like kind of forced into it by Jackson, and in that moment, she was, in my opinion, giving it away. She was just completely not able to back Jackson up in any way. Anytime that she was asked about it, she's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I think that she doesn't have the stomach for it. And I think it showed.
Yeah. She even goes into them and says, I can't speak to who's telling the truth. I can only tell my truth. Like, okay, he's lying. Done.
Mm-hmm. Now, Taryn, one of the things I'm also confused about does Jackson feel like, okay, that my road to winning the game resides in Holly, whether he's dragging her to the end or that he feels like, okay, well, she could maybe win a competition down the end and that will serve me? Or is this an emotional that he is almost like, I would say like playing with Rob and Amber, where I don't necessarily feel like that Rob felt like that, you know, Amber is the ideal person necessarily to go to the end with, or maybe it was both things, but there was like a emotional attraction there where that went beyond just strategy of that this is a person that I'm really, you know, head over heels for, and I would do anything for. And I don't, is that going on with Jackson, or is this strictly about the game?
It is strictly game, in my opinion. I think that if this benefited Jackson, Jackson would have let Holly go. I think that we see that in the later parts of the episode, where he encourages her to throw the HOH so that she is available to be evicted instead of him. Like, this guy is straight up using her because he thinks that she is best for his game. And he had been campaigning and continued to campaign for himself to stay over Holly at the Final Four, and had been prepping that for a while.
So, Allie, I want to go back to the own it tell, which I thought that this was a cool moment from the episode where we went back to the infamous night where Brett framed Rockstar, they got
real cute,
where Brett accused Rockstar of being the hinky vote, and they went back and forth all night long. And I don't even remember this as being a big thing, but somehow this is like burned into Nicole's brain that he said own it. What did you know about this?
Like, of course not. But I did like that Big Brother even didn't think we would know about it and showed the full clip. I think Nicole went really far with that, but she happened to be right. So like, whatever helps Nicole.
I can't believe on my daughter's birthday.
So now I'm thrown. But no, that would have to involve Jackson also being such a deep cut fan to be like ref, like winking to the audience, winking back to Brett. He was just, I think, similarly a D-bag lying. So yeah. I think that was probably fun for the fans to see Nicole like referencing that though in the confessional.
Just don't get why you're pretending not to know about this, Allie. Own it. Just own it. I know you're a huge Brett stan. Just own it.
Be careful. The last time you came for me in a joke, Taryn,
you've got nothing left. You've already spilled it all.
That's what you think.
So, Taryn, was this a thing? Was this like a meme that I didn't know about?
It was something that he repeated over and over. That was, you know, if Rockstar was saying, it's disgusting, my daughter's birthday, then Brett was own it. So, you know, if you're going to remember any of it, I think it is the own it stuff from Brett, especially if you are like a big fan of the game.
Okay, so Brett has incepted the Big Brother 21 house, not just through Kat, but also through his use of own it. I feel like that this is a Big Brother thing now. Anytime somebody's saying own it, it's a lie.
Yeah. And I think you also have to remember that I'm sure the season they watched, if anybody watched any seasons preseason, it was Big Brother 20.
Okay. All right.
I'm just trying to own the shade Taryn just threw at me, being like, if you're even a fan, that's the one thing you remember. Okay.
So let's talk about Cliff and Nicole in the aftermath of this, because Nicole is saying, look, I see through it. She ends up explaining the whole thing to Cliff. But Taryn, I really feel like that what is driving all of this is Cliff never wanted to keep Tommy. Cliff always wanted to keep Holly so that he would feel like that he went to, and I even said about this, so I thought this was, you know, for Nicole, it was a 50-50 thing, but for Cliff, that the right move was always going to be to go with Jackson and Holly, because there was no chance that Tommy was ever taking Cliff to the final two, where even for Nicole, if they could get out Jackson, if Tommy wins the final three, which would be worst case scenario for Cliff, that he would take Nicole to the end. And I think that Cliff's blind desire for I have to, you know, go with Jackson and Holly no matter what is driving just about everything in this episode.
Yes. And this is something that, you know, I think that we watched this episode and I tweeted this out. I think that because of the way it's structured and because of the, you know, theoretical ultimate results, I think that, you know, we're really going to watch this episode and look at it as, you know, oh, this was the big mistake for Cliff. He shouldn't have taken Tommy out of the game. That's the mistake. But I really disagree with that. I think that, you know, when we were looking at this decision at the time, we were looking at it and saying, okay, you know what? It's such a crapshoot either way. It's a coin flip. It's, you know, there are pluses and minuses both ways. And really for Cliff, it does seem like a little bit in the direction of evicting Tommy is better for his game, because as long as Nicole is available for eviction at Final Four, he stays at Final Four no matter what happens. Gets down to Final Three, he's got a 50-50 chance at taking out Jackson or Holly at Final Four, going to Final Three and having Nicole and himself both there. And even if he loses that coin flip, he still makes it to Final Three. And with how the competitions have been shaken up this season, who knows? Maybe he does have a chance to win that competition and he wins the game. So I do think that this was ultimately the slightly better call here for Cliff, but that does not mean that I am making excuses for Cliff or that I'm trying to defend him in any way, because he made a plethora of other mistakes that we can talk about. Mm-hmm. But I do not think that this one, as we talked about prior to the decision actually being made, just because the results may not pan out the way that they could have, doesn't mean the actual decision was the wrong one.
So, Allie, they're on the same page. They're still going to evict Holly, and they have a conversation with Holly and with Mickey, and Cliff throws out a new part of the deal to Holly.
Unwavering in that, and if there's any way I can say it, I will do whatever you want.
Would you throw the HOH tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Let us talk.
All right.
I'll do whatever to stay in this game. I just want to be here.
We throw the HOH tonight. Cliff is the one that throws that out. And we talked about it during the live show that we saw a lot of handshaking between Cliff and Nicole and Jackson and Holly. And that seems like that's the sweetener for Cliff, that he really is going to be able to then push this deal through with Nicole.
Yeah, I think this is one of the mistakes that I was talking about. I think that Cliff could have convinced Nicole not only to just do what he wanted here, but he could have convinced Nicole to throw the HOH herself, and then he could have been HOH and been safe until the final three. But instead, I think that he felt really guilty. And I think that he was like, it's really hard for me to push through what I want instead of what Nicole wants. And so I'm going to sweeten the deal for her to make her feel as comfortable as possible so that I don't feel as bad when she loses. And so he offered up this idea of Holly throwing the HOH, which essentially meant that Nicole is going to end up winning it, as well as a bunch of other deals that would help Nicole feel more comfortable. I think this is one of the bigger mistakes that Cliff is going to be making during this whole situation. And then for the next, you know, couple of days, Cliff is super down about this because he feels so guilty that he got his way and he did his best to try and recover from that. But all of what he was trying to do, I think, was just hurting him even further.
Allie, does Nicole need to say to Cliff, like, hold on, Cliff, stop. You're making all these deals and not signing off on them. That we need to talk this through.
Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed that I mean, I think Nicole and Cliff have such like a legitimate relationship that it's almost like harming both of them where they're not getting like tough with each other. Like Taryn is saying, like, Cliff is, I don't know if it was the, if it's always been like this or if it was like hearing the letter from the family and like, well, whatever. I don't know what it is, but like Cliff's father's side is coming out and he's like making these deals that are going to benefit Nicole in a way that like we've wanted Cliff to not play an emotional game. And Nicole like is so close to Cliff that she's just, or maybe she's just not used to like standing up to someone. Like she's just sort of letting this happen despite her instincts telling her otherwise. Although maybe at the end of the day, it was like an offer she couldn't refuse. If Holly was going to throw it and she could definitely beat Cliff, then who really cares what happens? I don't know. Never mind.
Go for it.
No, I was going to walk it back to something Taryn said. Just like, was it a foregone conclusion that if Nicole didn't win veto or HOH in the final four, both Mitchie or Holly would have evicted her?
I would not say it's a foregone conclusion, no, but I think most likely that would have been the case. That was what they had talked about, yeah. And it's what they have talked about. So multiple instances of them talking about that as something that would happen and something that would have happened.
Now, Taryn, they didn't know what the final four HOH competition was going to be. Do you feel like that Cliff was going to throw the HOH competition to Nicole no matter what here? Like, would Cliff have tried to go for it had it been a different competition?
I think that he was going to try to go for it. But again, it wouldn't have surprised me, given his mindset, feeling so guilty. If he had thought about, like, you know what, I pushed through this decision and now I feel so guilty about it. I want to make sure Nicole's safe, which basically negates the entire purpose of pushing through the decision in the first place, which is, again, my main issue with what he was doing. So I don't think that he necessarily would have thrown this HOH to Nicole, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's something that came across his mind.
And do we need to give Jackson credit here in terms of what you're saying about how where Jackson ends up being the person who has to go home if Holly ends up being the HOH and Cliff or Nicole ends up winning the veto? Or is that something that just occurred to him after Cliff first throws out the idea of Holly throwing the HOH that would make her potentially available to go home at the final four? And that was just a happy accident for Jackson.
I think it was a happy accident for Jackson. I think that I'm a little bit of a monster in this situation, and I really loved watching Jackson encourage Holly to throw this competition. And I almost wish that he had come up with the idea himself, because that would make it all the more cold. But I do think that it's something that popped up and he was like, oh, this is absolutely something I'm going to jump on. I mean, that's kind of been how Jackson plays the game. He saw Cliff, Nicole, and Tommy going to talk. It was an opportunity. He jumped on it and then he used it to his advantage. So this happened. Holly promised to throw the HOH and he was like, that's perfect for me. I'm just going to make sure she follows through. And I am fully of the opinion that if Jackson is not on the sidelines encouraging Holly to throw that competition, there's no way she throws that competition.
Mm-hmm. Allie, we saw the martyrdom of Jackson, a.k.a. Mitchie, very much tonight about how, you know, that he was just trying to do what's best for Cliff and Nicole, and they had to screw it all up, but then they went back on their deal, and he was a great friend to them. Never did anything to screw them over.
Yeah, this was like devastating to watch. Not in the way that Mitchie would want it to be. What's crazy is like all season we've seen him so concerned with how he looks on television and how what his mom will see and what Holly's parents will see and all that, all of those layers of manipulation. And now we're seeing that again. It's like he did it all for Holly. He couldn't lose Holly, and Cliff and Nicole forced his hand and he didn't want to do it. He seemed natural as heck doing that. I don't believe that for a second. And he just lied to, you know, it's like he just lied to them, boldface. And I don't want to make it like, oh, I'm aghast that people would lie in the Big Brother house. Like, this is the move we always want to see, like somebody create a lie out of nowhere and go with it and it work. But then you're watching it and it's always like horrifying to watch. So I don't mean to be like, no, you know, clutch my pearls over it. But to see him like now crying about it is like the most, you know, It hurts the impact of what he did or didn't do, if you blame Cliff like me. But so that was like a little bit took the wind out of his sails for me.
Yeah, this is a really good point about the Dr. Jackson and Mitchie Hyde of it all. Taryn, that I had got a question, and I'm trying to find the person that sent it to me earlier in the day about could I compare Dr. Will and Jackson, not necessarily as a game player, but a reason why people say they don't like Jackson is, oh, he's so arrogant, but isn't that something that, you know, Dr. Will did and people liked him for it? But I think that the difference here is that Dr. Will, I think, embraces everything that he does. And he is, you know, if the Zingbot called him a pompous douchebag, I think that he would sort of like, yeah, but I'm your pompous douchebag, America.
Where so he owns it.
He would own it. And, you know, where Jackson, I think in the same way that you could use the phrase that he is gaslighting Holly at times and turning things around on her, I think he's also in a lot of ways turning things around on us in the diary room of that, you know, all of the misdeeds that he has done were really actually done because of the things that were done to him, or that there were good reasons for everything that he did, and not just because he wanted to win the game.
Yeah, and Ali, I think you touched on this in a way that I've been trying to like wrap my own head around it, because there's a part of me that loves what Jackson's doing, that loved watching him just lie to Tommy's face, that loved watching him encourage Holly to throw the HOH, because I love those kinds of moves, the Dr. Will moves, the Dan Giesling moves. But there is a part of me that is like a little bit grossed out by it, and in fact a lot grossed out by it, but that's usually a part of me that like doesn't exist when I watch these moments on the show. And I'm trying to figure out like, why is it that I don't like Jackson as much? Like, where is this coming from? And I'm still trying to wrap my head around it myself, but I think that that part of it comes from the fact that when watching people like Dr. Will, certainly people like Dan Giesling, in the more personal moments, in the moments where they are just interacting on a human level, they're acting like normal, nice, kind people, you know, maybe excluding Big Brother 2 Dr. Will to some degree. But like they seem like regular, normal, nice people. But then when playing the game, they can be very, very cutthroat and cold, and that's much more fun. But having watched Jackson do this to Holly in a setting that is purely just their relationship, and some of the things that he had done earlier in the season that ties into what he's doing in the game, I think that's why it digs at me a little more than it otherwise would. I still like watching it to a degree, but there's also a part of me that's like, oh, I feel a little grimy, whereas normally I wouldn't as much.
I also feel like that it's important that players say whatever they want to the other people in the house, but tell us the truth. We're your friend. Yeah. We see everything. We're watching the show. People are on the live feeds. Like, tell us the truth, and we will, you know, for better or for worse, we'll respect you, Allie, but don't. Go ahead. Don't, you know, as Judge Judy, another judge would say, don't pee on our head and tell us it's raining.
And no one's ever said they'd respect me before, even. No. No, that's what happened in the final, like DR we get from him, where he's just like, oh, now because Cliff and Nicole betrayed me, now I want to sit at the final two with Holly. Like, what? Like, of course you wanted to sit at the final two with Holly. It's not because Cliff and Nicole betrayed you. It'd be great to hear him say, like, now I have a perfect reason to tell them and do jury management. And, like, it's not my fault. You turned on me first and I survived it. But to act as though, like, oh, now Mitchie, the bastion for, like, genuineness and truth in this world, finally him and Holly will sit on the final two. Otherwise he totally would have taken Cliff, obviously.
Right. Something else we learned about Mitchie tonight, and really all season long, Ali, he loves confetti, and he talked about it a lot tonight. I'm starting to wonder maybe if he had no interest in potential in Big Brother or the money, but he just has a fetish obsession with confetti, and he felt like that. Well, I don't know any other way to get confetti dumped on me other than winning this game show.
Yeah, like $8.99, one of those confetti poppers, and then you don't have to take 100 days of your life and sit in the Big Brother house and you know, lie about what you're eating. Yeah, I don't know. That was really creepy too. Like, it's all for like sort of
confetti.
I feel like it's very like all confetti. For the glorification of his massive ego.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating to watch. I'm reclaiming watermelon. I'm now gonna have to reclaim confetti too. He can't ruin all the good
you
things.
You can't take my confetti.
Confetti.
Know what I'm willing to do.
This is one of the confetti quotes from tonight.
There's no confetti for fourth place. A boy wants confetti.
Did he say a boy wants confetti, Taryn? Or your boy wants confetti?
I thought it was the boy.
The boy wants confetti.
The boy wants there's no confetti for fourth place. The boy wants confetti.
He definitely said "ya boy," but in the show, but in the playback, it definitely sounds like a boy wants confetti.
A boy wants confetti. A boy will have confetti.
Why does confetti have to be gendered? A girl also wants confetti.
If he loses either in third or second, they should just pump out confetti when he walks out.
Well, he did talk about how if I can't have confetti, then I hope the confetti hits me in the face when I'm walking out after you, Cliff.
No, I want Julie.
Secondhand confetti.
I want JCM to have just one of the little New Year's Eve poppers, just like when he leaves in fourth and just like, here you go.
If Jeff does backyard interviews and Jackson loses, I want his dollar store gift to be some confetti.
Just throw it on. So,
how do you feel about losing, Jackson? Here's your confetti.
Well, this does help it a little bit. It does take the edge off slightly.
I was hoping it would make you feel good. What do you think now about your relationship with confetti?
Yeah. So as they were talking through all this, there was a moment, Allie, where if I'm Cliff and Nicole, like I'm starting to get like scared for my personal safety as Mitchie was raging at one point. I thought he was going to like smash the sink in the bathroom at one point when they talked about how that they were still going to keep Tommy.
Yeah, I can't exactly pinpoint which time you mean because he always sort of seems to be raging to me. But yeah, I think that's part of it, right? He's so desperate in this moment. I mean, I've really never seen anyone work harder for somebody else. I mean, I agree with what Taryn's saying. It was for his benefit still, but he was just throwing out everything he had. And I think that last step was just physical intimidation. Nicole is a small woman, you know. Two cloned Cliffs probably still couldn't beat one Mitchie in a fight. So
the clone, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think that was just like again his last straw is just I'm just gonna get angry about it again. Should have been a tell, you know. All of this just should have been a tell.
Allie, could you take Mitchie in the Royal Rumble?
Well, listen, I'm a ringer in the Royal Rumble. I should have had a championship belt made. I would have had to send it to Melissa, but I still should have had it made.
Yeah. Okay. We're ultimately going to get to the point where the deal is going to be made. Nicole doesn't feel good about it, Taryn, and she goes along with it. She goes along with it. We're going to get to our HOH competition, and Holly is now having second thoughts about this arrangement where she has to throw the HOH competition. I think that this is one of the times Holly's talking about this.
This is not fair gameplay. We made a Final Four deal, yet here we are, and somehow they have manipulated the situation and forced me to basically sell my soul to them.
So it's not fair. This was not fair.
What's crazy about that is she does know what manipulation is. I honestly thought the whole season she just wasn't familiar with what being manipulated
what is
was.
Happening to me. Yeah.
but no, I mean, it's crazy. This is like, of course, this is what Holly's going to be doing, the same stuff that Mitchie does. Like, okay, Cliff and Nicole are actually playing the game and getting something more out of it. And how terrible and how unfair. And God forbid I blame Mitchie for telling me to jump off the rope. It's obviously anybody else's fault. But is this, I guess I have to ask Taryn this, like, was she really debating this much, or was this just milked in the episode? Because they really made the the competition look like it lasted 100 minutes when it lasted like 2 seconds, right?
It was very short, but I think one of the reasons why it seemed so short is that they started in the episode. I think they might have actually even halted it for a second and then brought it back up, and then the feeds were still down. By the time the feeds came back, it was basically already over, but it was like a good 10 or 15 minutes, or I think that, yeah, that they were up there. And so I think there was a good amount of time that she was like, I don't want to. And Jackson was like, you gotta stick to your word. That's, you gotta make me more safe.
Yeah. Because in the real time of how this played out, like the episode was going on, and then before we even started the live show, and it wasn't like one of these shows in the studio where you guys are waiting for, forever for the show to start. We probably were started the show by like 10:05 or 10:06. And then by the time we already knew the HOH result before we even started the live show on Thursday night. So it was a very quick turnaround for anybody who wasn't following the events of Thursday Night Live. But Allie, should Holly have stuck it out up there?
I mean, yeah, I think so. Mitchie's only logic that she should fall, because he wasn't willing yet to say she's also great to have another option to evict if he should lose, was that it would light the fire under Nicole and Cliff's bum in the veto competition. Winning HOH is not going to prevent somebody from having a fire under them in a Final Four veto competition. So I think she should have stuck it out at this point. Like, you know, Cliff and Mitchie talk all about honoring these deals to the point mm-hmm. where they've made this ludicrous final too. Like at some point, and Nicole said this in the house meeting, rightfully, everybody's playing both sides. Like some of these deals have to get broken. They're down to 6-5 and now 4. So yeah, I mean, I'm not throwing the Final Four HOH if it's a competition I think I can win.
Yeah.
For what? Just like my reputation, whatever.
Cause Taryn, that Holly's and Mitchie's whole rationale is that, hey, they broke their word to us. We'll say whatever we need to say. If I'm Holly, I don't know why I'm not pushing back on Jackson's. They're like, wait, hold on. Aren't we screwing them over? Aren't we breaking our word to them? Why aren't I trying to win this HOH?
The answer about like what, like Holly's just doing what Jackson's telling her to do at this point. I mean, that's how she stayed in the game this week. And then she's up there. There's zero incentive for her to throw this HOH. If she wins this HOH, she's guaranteed a spot in the final three regardless. It's coming down to competitions no matter what. And all she's doing is leaving herself available for her partner, who is better at the game than her, to convince the other people to not take him out and take her out instead, which is exactly what was happening. There's no point whatsoever for her to throw this HOH, especially because she then goes on to lie to them some more and then break further deals. Like she upheld one part of the deal and then made more and broke them and broke other things. So why not just break the most important one? She kept the most important deal to break and then made a bunch of pointless deals and broke all of the pointless ones. It's completely nonsensical. And the answer is that she's just doing what Jackson tells her.
Yeah. Allie, I think that Holly is going to be the person, maybe outside of Jack, who has the hardest time with their post-show reception from getting out and learning what the world thinks about them.
I think she will have a hard time if her and Jackson don't stay together. I think if her and Jackson are fully together for 6 months, she won't feel like, A, he'll be telling her it's all garbage and that whatever, and B, she'll feel like she really won because she's with Jackson. I think if they break up, I'm not saying they will or they won't, then I think she's going to be into her, like, I threw it all away for a showmance. I ruined my chance. Like, it was Jackson's mm-hmm. fault. So that, I think, will make or break the feelings.
Yeah. It's going to be fascinating to watch, to see how it all plays out. And I'm curious, but I don't need to be contacted. Taryn, are there a lot of Jolly/Macbeth Twitter accounts out there? And I don't need to hear from all of them. Is that a thing?
I believe that there's not a lot of them out there right now, but I believe in my heart that there are a lot of closeted Jolly fans waiting to make the Jolly Macbeth fan the account. And if and when Jackson or Holly win the game and opinion starts to turn on them a little bit, that's when, and they start being quote unquote influencers. That's when those accounts will start to be like, hey, I was always Team Jolly.
It's go time.
So I expect it, especially if the outcome is that one of these two wins the game.
And to all of them that are out there, that we just want to reiterate that we thought that they made exciting television every step of the way. And
not boring.
Never once have we said that they have been made in a very exciting second half of the season. And
you
so,
can at me. They were terrible. That's fine.
No.
This is how it happens.
No. Pineapple at Girl 27. Yes. Okay. All right. Eventually Cliff falls, and then Holly is like, what do I do? What do I fall? Yeah, do it. Jump down. Okay. So she falls. Nicole wins the entry. A nice moment for Nicole, though. Allie, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, she's all we have to root for, because I have famously renounced my Cliff standum. I have to reverse Cliff.
You're reversing it.
Nicole's like all we have, right? So she wins. People are like, oh, they threw it to her. Not they. Holly threw it to her. But who cares? And she made the gameplay to have it thrown to her. So good for Nicole.
Okay. So we end up with Nicole is the HOH. And so Cliff gonna go back to making more deals, Taryn. Cliff and his deals. I hope I play in a fantasy football league with Cliff next season. I got some OJ Howards I want to send to him, and a whole bunch of deals I'd love to talk to with Cliff.
Yeah, and this is where Cliff starts to really spiral, in my opinion. I think that this, the weight of the decision and what he did during the whole fight, I think knowing probably that Jackson was lying, but sticking with Jackson anyway, watching Tommy go out the way that he did in tears, I think that really, really destroyed Cliff on the inside. He really did respect Tommy and wanted him to do well in the game. Plus, all of this he was doing, against what Nicole wanted. He might be screwing Nicole over. I think that all of that was really tearing him up. And I think that he really got spun around, because he went from, he like, okay, I did this, so now I really need to like full throttle, go for it. I need to make sure it pays off. I need to make sure that I guarantee my spot. And he goes and he makes the deal with Jackson, but then that only makes him feel more guilty. And he's like, oh no, what have I done? Now I'm screwing Nicole over even more. So then he goes and he tells Nicole about it. He's really in a bad headspace. And we see this play out on the feeds over the next few days, that he is really in a funk in a way that we haven't seen on the feeds ever before.
Allie, I really feel like that this is changing my whole view of Cliff's arc over the season, where I feel like that he's made sort of like a not so great deal after not so great deal, where he sort of just like appeased the other side for safety. And people have looked at him as like, okay, well, he's a fair broker because that he's making these not so great deals with us. Let's keep him around. But this seems like we're getting a couple deals too many.
Yeah. What about me, Cliff? I'm in a funk. I'm turned around. Like, I was distraught over this. What about me? No, I think you're right. I was thinking that while watching the episode is like, Cliff has always done what he needed to do to stay safe. But at this stage, he needs to do what's needed to do to win. I mean, I guess some people would differ on whether or not he even had a chance to win. But to make a deal with Jackson to go to the final two, and believe at all, even if he wasn't I get what Taryn's saying, that he didn't care whether Jackson was telling the truth with Tommy. It was more, that was the better move for him, so he let it happen. But here it's like, does he actually believe that Jackson and him have a final two? Would he act on that with Nicole?
Right.
Right. Right. So here's another like huge. So Cliff in this state, he is basically completely lost his mind. It's a complete departure of the Cliff that we've seen up until this point. I think that day, Thursday, it broke him, and we saw it on the feeds. He talked to us. He's like, I just want to sleep all the time. He's been having some health problems, over the last few days. Like they're genuinely concerned for him in the house, and they were even before some of those other things. He's really just lost the plot. And I think part of it is that he made this decision, and it's like an overcommitment to it. Like I said, I don't think it was necessarily the wrong move for him, and I think he recognized that. But because he made the decision that benefited him, and it was against what Nicole wanted, it really burned Tommy. It really burned him, and he wanted it. He wanted it to be the right decision, like no matter what. And so I think that he was just willing to believe anything at that point. And Jackson was playing him like a fiddle. He was saying, I'm a Southern gentleman or whatever. We're going to shake hands. I'm going to take you to the end. And I do believe that Jackson would have, if Holly ended up leaving at the final four, if that's something that's going to happen, I think that Jackson would take, Cliff to the end. But Cliff at this point is believing that, that Jackson is willing to even cut Holly. That's what Jackson's been setting up all throughout the final five, is that, look, I can't say it in front of the cameras because I don't want to look like a terrible person in front of America, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do at the final four. Like, we're going to make it happen. So Cliff is believing that, that Jackson is willing to do that. And that again ties into why Cliff doesn't care if Holly throws the HOH, because, from Cliff's perspective, if Jackson wins the veto, then Holly is theoretically the person that's going to leave. And we saw a little bit of that in the episode tonight as well. And that's again, a massive, massive error on Cliff's part, and, is one of the reasons why he is now vulnerable for eviction at the final four.
Yeah. Well, now I'm a real jerk for saying what about me when a man's having health problems, but
okay. Yeah, can you expand on that, Taryn? I know you're not a doctor.
Well, it's a little bit to do with the veto competition, but let's talk about it in the spoilers.
Okay. All right. We'll get to that. Allie, it does seem as though Cliff has come to know a different Jackson / Mitchie than we have come to know over these 80 some odd days in the Big Brother house, where he tells Nicole, Jackson's not the kind of guy that's going to break a word like this. I really feel good about this deal with him. Like,
now I feel bad for Cliff, but It's amazing because, like Taryn's saying, he says, like, oh, I don't want to say it in front of the cameras. I'll do it in front of national television, but I won't speak it in front of the cameras. And like, to honor his word to Cliff, he'd have to betray an 89-day alliance with Holly. So I honestly, watching it without knowing that Cliff was, you know, suffering in that way, the only rationale was that he was just having a breakdown, because it just absolutely made no sense. Yeah. You know, sometimes you can see two sides. Okay, Taryn laid out the two sides to the Tommy and Holly situation, but here there's no sides. Like, this is just insanity.
Yeah. I do want to be clear that like the stricter of like physical health problems came a little bit later, but I do think it's ultimately tied in with just the overall breakdown emotionally, mentally, that had to do with what, with the stress of the day on Thursday that, led to him making poor decisions, which led to an even deeper spiral, which
everything's connected.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Allie, I do want to talk about my favorite part of this episode. And it comes when, in a quieter moment, when Jackson and Holly are sort of consoling each other about this crazy turn of events which has happened. And Jackson finally breaks down in tears. Now, Taryn, Jackson, this is the first time he's cried in Big Brother. Is that right? I feel like I have memory of him crying about other situations in the house. This is the first time.
Man, I'm trying to think. He might have cried when
didn't
he was
he cry when like the diary room talked to him about saying like toning it down.
He was definitely really upset.
Okay. All right. So he's gonna cry about Tommy. He didn't wanna have to do
that. He was such a good guy. He was such a good guy.
Yeah. And now
I didn't want to have to do it.
Play the clip, Rob. I hope you're about to play the clip.
Holly's like trying to console him, like, all right, my boyfriend, come here. But no, that is not the woman that can console him in this moment.
Where's mama?
Actually, let me play the whole clip. I've played just the short version.
Oh, man, I could use a hug from mom right now. Where's mama when I need her? Where's mama?
You already have a cut from the long form to the short form.
Yeah, I usually have like the long form of something and then just like the part I want to play over and over again. But only mama.
Where's mama?
I was so afraid that Holly was going to be like, I'm here.
I'm sorry. I can't. I'm sorry, Jackson. I'm out. That was it. So weird.
The close up on Holly's face in that moment was just like, yeah. I think it was 20% repulsion, 80% like, why am I not good enough? I could fill that role. And just all of it was horrible.
Where's mama?
What's wrong
Thanks
with you?
So much for having me. Gotta go.
Can I get the check?
See, that's what I thought he was. I thought that's what he thought he was referring to when he said a boy needs confetti. He was that's something you say to mama. Mama, your boy wants some confetti.
Jackson, I'm right here. Your mama is always watching you. I've got confetti and watermelon waiting for you back home.
Everybody in Jackson's family just has that voice.
Jackson, remember, every time you look at a watermelon, you see home.
Jackson, what? This is Colleen and Fish. Can we talk about how his parents' names are Colleen and Fish?
Colleen and Fish? Yes. Is that from your notes from Thursday night?
Yeah, it is, but I just remembered that. But if I scroll down, I do have Mitchie's dad's first name is Fish.
Yeah. Fish Mickey.
Sorry.
And mama.
I've lost it like Cliff.
Yeah.
I think I need my mama right now.
Mama and Fish.
Yeah. Do you think, Darren, usually we get like a video from home. Will we get a video of Jackson's mom just like with like holding like 9 watermelons?
Jackson, we can't wait to see you.
Well, he's very worried that she's going to be disappointed in him. So maybe she'll be able to reassure him.
I can never be disappointed in my boy.
We have to, not that this hasn't been serious, but we have to get a Nicole home visit before a Mitchie, Fish and Colleen Mitchie visit, right?
Yeah. Do you think that her parents will be like, Nicole, we love you. We're they're scared of her because she's coming back home, and if she's salty, they're going back in the basement, right?
Hey, baby bird, it's all right.
All of your doodles of plastic.
No matter what happens, you were the best, Nicole.
What did she draw?
Pegasus. Her Pegasus drawings. Yeah, that was the first from the first episode.
We've
what you working
up?
On, honey?
My Pegasus drawing.
Oh, very nice. Came out really well.
Thanks so much, Dad. And thanks for always hanging these up. I appreciate it.
Boy.
Where's Daddy?
What's interesting is, why is she not afraid of the flying horse, but she's afraid of birds? I feel like there's a massive...
That's interesting. Yeah. It's not all winged creatures. I'd be way more scared of a horse with wings than a small bird.
Yeah, horse birds got to be more terrifying than
birds
all
are
other.
More rodent-like.
Mm.
Horses are majestic.
Is this a rodent vermin debate? No,
I don't think so. Okay, all right. Then we're gonna get to a little bit of a closing talk, and Holly is gonna say, all bets are off at this point.
Nicole and Cliff have already taken their gloves off, so I think it's about time that I take mine off as well. I have no other choice than to win the veto.
That's it now. They drew a line in the sand. That's it. Final four. Time to go to work, Allie.
Yeah, she has no other choice because relying on Mickey like she's been doing all game is no longer a choice with this.
This is no longer an option. That's it.
But you know what? They shot the first. They fired the first shot. Now I am going to win the veto at Final Four. They asked for it. I'm not going to throw the Final Four veto. Joke's on them, because otherwise I would have. I don't understand.
I don't know. Okay. All right. We've had a lot of fun with the episode, but we need to talk about the live feeds. So let's do that. Then we'll come and do the questions later on, because then I think it'll all come together, because there's a lot of this week, the second half of this story, we need to have it told. So if you're going to leave us now, we'll be back on Wednesday night. So be on the lookout for our live show on Wednesday night, as we will get to 1 week away from the finale and the Survivor premiere, all coming up. That's going to be in the Wednesday night veto recap coming up on the 18th. Before we get into the live feed spoilers, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Purple Mattress. And look, if you spend the night tossing and turning, you can know how painful it is to wake up with a stiff neck or back pain. If you're spending way too much time on a mattress that's not giving you a good night's sleep. But that's where the Purple Mattress comes in, because the founders of Purple are two brothers who've been developing cushioning technology for 30 years on things like medical beds and wheelchairs. And in 2016, they finally decided how to use their patented comfort technology to create Purple, the world's most scientific mattress ever. The Purple Mattress was going to feel differently from anything you've ever experienced, because it uses a brand new material that was developed by an actual rocket scientist. And it was not like the memory foam that you're used to. The Purple Mattress feels very unique because it's both firm and soft at the same time. So it keeps everything supported while you're still feeling really comfortable. Plus, it's breathable, so it sleeps cool. It ends up giving you this zero gravity-like feel, so it works for any sleeping position. 100-night risk-free trial. That's a better deal than Cliff could ever hope to get if you're not fully satisfied. You can return your mattress for a full refund, backed by a 10-year warranty with free shipping and free returns, free in-home setup, and old mattress removal as well. You're going to love Purple. Right now, our listeners will get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. Just text ROB to 84888. The only way to get the free pillow is to text ROB to 84888. That's ROB to 84888. Message and data rates may apply. Let's go ahead and get into the weekend in the Big Brother spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected.
No,
take it back.
Action should be taken.
Yes. Okay. The spoilers. Okay. The taboo buzzer has been like just out of arm's reach for like 2 weeks. I keep forgetting every podcast to bring it back. All right, Taryn, we need to talk about the second half of this story. Did it all work out for Cliff? He made him the man of a million deals, got it down to the final four. One of these deals had to have worked, right?
Well, I mean, theoretically, but not so much, because they're going to play the veto. Now, historically, the Final Four veto, not super physical. It's usually a day's competition. This Final Four veto, though, seems to be continuing the trend that we saw from Big Brother 20, where the late game competitions in particular are becoming more and more physical. And that, of course, means that Jackson is going to be the winner of the Final Four veto. But hey, it's all right, because Cliff made a deal with Jackson that if Jackson won, he would take out Holly. And Jackson shook on it and has been continuing to say, yeah, I'm taking Holly out. And on top of that, Holly has agreed that if she had won the veto, she would evict Jackson. So Cliff was already in the final three, and it was just a matter of which person was going to be the person to take out the person who wasn't Cliff. And so when Jackson won, it was, hopefully we're good. I think we're good. Nicole being like, I don't know, Cliff. And Cliff being like, no, I think probably good. I think we're good. And then just today on the feeds, the news was finally broken to Nicole and Cliff that no, Jackson will not be evicting his showmance at the final four.
Playing chess and not checkers.
Yeah. Jackson, he was always a lot smarter than they gave him credit for. Oh boy, they're not going to trick him into taking out his showmance at the final four.
Well, I don't know what to say, Allie.
My mom just texted me that she's watching this. It's really becoming a family affair.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, but I don't know what to say either. I mean, duh. Like, I'm more surprised that my mom is watching this right now live than I am about Cliff. Wish I was sorry to see him go. I fully renounced my Cliff stand-up.
He had a great run here. We're 89 days into this thing. We didn't think he'd be getting to day nine.
Look, I think Big Brother can be way more emotionally draining than Survivor as someone who's played neither game and never will. I think he's had a great, great run. He said on this episode he's 54 years old. He had been evicted from the game, won his way back in, did amazing, wasn't just like dragged necessarily as a goat or anything, had a legitimate chance if he'd gotten to the final to actually get votes. I think he should be very proud of himself. No problem that he's deteriorating 89 days in. And if he's really not doing well physically or mentally, that's fine. He made the jury and that's great.
Tara, what was the injury that he had?
So, like I said, it was a very physical veto, and Cliff ended up having to take, I think, something around 38 minutes. They were firing balls or cannons or whatever with like a slingshot or a catapult or something to hit little cardboard cutouts or whatever to answer certain questions. And they had to run back and forth to retrieve their balls every time. And so
Cliff before the wife.
Yeah. So Cliff was running back and forth for 38 minutes straight. Mm-hmm. And it was a very, very hot day in LA. Apparently, you would know better than I, Rob.
I was in New York.
Right. That's true. Sorry. Yeah. But it was a very hot day yesterday. So it was he got a little bit of heat stroke potentially.
Mentioned
his blood pressure was really high. His knees were like scraped down pretty deep apparently because you had to kneel to do the cannon or whatever.
You gotta die on your feet, Cliff.
Yeah,
Jackson will tell you.
So we don't know a ton of the details because the feeds cut whenever they brought it up. But Jackson did mention that one of the reasons why I don't want to tell Cliff yet is for his health. I don't want to kill him. Essentially,
what a guy.
So
God forbid something happened to Cliff, then Jackson. Well, you know, if he would have just kept his word.
It shouldn't have come to this. It's his fault.
He broke his deal.
If Cliff got medevaced, then Jackson would have been like, I was going to take him to the finals too, but now I have to take Holly.
He robbed me of having the chance to tell him I was taking him to the final too. I'll have to somehow survive.
Yeah, and like I said, he has been talking to the cameras about like how just exhausted he has been over the last few days. He just wants to sleep all the time. Like I am concerned for him. They are concerned for him. I hope that you know he is now going to be leaving the house. I hope that he is able to get the rest that he needs in the jury house without all those youngins bothering him.
Yeah. Okay. Allie, one of the things we didn't talk about also was that then after Cliff made like the self-interested move with Jackson, then he went back and told Nicole also. And I think that Cliff is also sort of conflicted about, hey, I am a gamer. I need to do what's best for my game, but I also have to take care of Nicole. And I think he's having a very hard time wrestling with this also. More so, I think, than Jackson with Holly in terms of
far
like,
more ja- so.
Jackson sure. is way more like, I gotta win the game. But
complete opposite.
Yeah, he's very, I think he's very torn between, hey, I got to take care of my real family. I got to win the game. But I also don't want to wrong Nicole.
Yeah. And, you know, as Stephen Fishback explained to me when I was in college and was like, you guys should all slit each other's throats. He was like, this is real. Like, I do think this is a real relationship between
it was real
Cliff and Nicole. They were very like, you know, they were both outsiders of this huge main alliance. Nicole was really Cliff's first real alliance. And I think he sees her as a daughter figure. And I generally think he wants her to do well in the game. And like, I can't, it's just like we were saying before, like you want someone to play like Mickey in theory and, mm-hmm. and not play emotionally and not get caught up with the relationships. And then they do that and it's horrifying. And then you see Cliff and you're like, come on, Cliff, like, maybe part of it is because the deal was so absurd. So you're like, are you really selling Nicole out for this terrible deal that's not really a deal? Mm-hmm. And then he tells her like, oh, I have a final three. And she immediately sees through it like, okay, that's clearly a final two. Mm-hmm. And that I'm just rambling now. I feel bad that Cliff is going out this way. But
she's got like Jim Halpert look for the camera. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And what he ultimately does is he goes back to Jackson and says, look, I know we made a final two, but unfortunately, I was not in the right headspace. I'm actually not taking you to the final two. I'm actually taking Nicole to the final two. And so then he goes to Nicole and he says, look, so sorry, I made a final two with Jackson, but I just told him that I am actually taking you to the final two. So don't worry about that. It's very sloppy. Like I said, he's kind of spiraling at this point. And I do think a lot of it is due to like guilt and exhaustion. And it's
he needs a 24-hour solitary confinement, I think. At this point, it's what the doctor ordered.
Cliff is going out. This is like a harsh way for him to go out here, but I think he will be remembered. Like, we will look back on this season and remember Cliff fondly.
Yes, I think so.
But
I think
it's a rough moment for Cliff on his way out.
I think there is a lot to criticize of Cliff. I do think that he has done a great job up until this point for much of the game. I think that he was playing on the hardest setting that you can play Big Brother on, being way older than the rest of the house guests, being incapable of winning most competitions, and yet being seen as a competition beast throughout most of the season. Those are like the three most difficult things combined that you can have to work with. And he did a really great job getting himself to where he is now. And then he lost the plot.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I want to talk about Cliff's game in this way. Now, moving forward, that here is Nicole now heading to the final three with Jackson and Holly. Is Nicole set up here where she can potentially win the game? And in some way, Taryn, could Cliff be sort of like the Obi-Wan Kenobi that got Luke Skywalker here to this point? And now,
if you strike me down,
yes,
I will become stronger.
It's up to Nicole to fulfill the prophecy and ultimately win the game.
Similar to Star Wars, I think she has a narrow path in front of her, and it's going to require a lot of the Force to make it happen. Mm-hmm. She's got to win the final three HOH, and that might be very difficult for her if the final three HOH is the same as it usually is, which is not a given how the final four was certainly very different than how it usually is. Mm-hmm. But if it is how it usually is, part one is endurance. Holly is the favorite to win that. Part two is a very, very physical mental puzzle kind of thing. We just saw that Jackson beat Nicole at one of those. There's a very good chance Jackson beats Nicole there, and she's just immediately locked out of part three. If she does manage to beat Jackson there, then she faces off against Holly in part three, which she has a pretty good chance at. If it is questions like it is last year, if it's a crapshoot like it normally is, then it's a 50-50 shot. Either way, it's a rough road for Nicole to make it there. But if she does, she has the ability to cut Jackson, which I do believe she will. She'll take Holly, and she has a chance to win. I think Holly also has a chance to beat Nicole, though. So I think it's not even a given that she wins if she wins the final three HOH. So it's a tough road, but I do think she still has options and outs to win here.
Allie, how rough is that going to be if Holly beats Nicole in the final two?
Well, wait, I'm shocked to hear you say that. So if Nicole, you think if Nicole wins the final HOH and brings Holly, that Holly could still beat her. Can we talk through those votes? Because I feel like
nine
especially
votes,
if
right?
That's the path.
Okay, figure she's got Jackson, she's got Kat. Who else do you see as the votes that are very much in play for Holly?
So, I mean, I think that with Jackson and Kat, I do think, you know, I think that Tommy and I think that Christy are Holly votes. Christy could be a Nicole vote, but I do think that Tommy might be coming in as a Holly vote. And we can talk more about him in just a second, but I think that Jack and Sis are both Holly votes over Nicole, or at least could be. Again, it's complete guesswork because I really... I think that both Holly and Nicole were not particularly respected for a good portion of the game. However, Holly did have a good month and a half of being really respected in the house, whereas Nicole only really got to a place where she was respected at all, maybe in the last couple of weeks at best. And I think that with Jackson gone, Holly gets to kind of claim, yeah, all of Jackson's moves were mine, but I was nicer about it. And so... it's really hard to judge. I think that Nicole has one vote locked in, and that's Cliff. I think that she has one probable vote, or at least maybe vote, which is Nick. And beyond that, I don't see anybody else that are definite votes for her. Holly has definitely Jackson, definitely Kat. And Kat has had a long time in the jury to be pumping Holly up and saying that Holly is really good and has secretly... Remember... From and Kat doesn't even have to lie. From Kat's perspective, Holly was playing really well while Kat was in the game. And so if Kat is saying, yeah, this is what Holly was doing while I was there, and then extrapolates from that point and says that Holly must be doing all of that now, then there's probably a lot of respect, or could be a lot of respect for Holly that we haven't been able to see because we're not privy to what's happening in the jury house.
Oh, boy.
That's the darkest timeline. How does that, I mean, when it's like, okay, I see what you're saying. If Jackson's not there, she can take credit for Jackson's move. But like, how can she take credit for what's happened over the last, you know, this week? You know, like, this isn't even like a move that they strategized that she could take credit for. Like, this was fully Jack on a rampage, and Tommy knows that, and Cliff knows that, and other people in the house know that who are going to be explaining that potentially. Like, I don't know that... I can't really go toe to toe with Taryn here on the votes. I'm just like trying to be more optimistic that Holly's not going to win this.
And you're like, I don't mean to be one sided either, because like right now I'm coming from the perspective of most people think Nicole would beat Holly. So I'm kind of advocating for why Holly can win. But I don't necessarily think that it's like more likely that way either. I'm just saying I do feel like it could go either way. I mean, in terms of Holly getting credit for what Jackson did, we saw that happen last year with Kate. Like, Tyler made tons of moves without Casey's knowledge, or would tell Casey after the fact. But Casey was able to appear to be more on top of the game to the jury because she was so tightly connected with him. I think the same thing might happen with Holly, especially if Jackson's in the jury saying that that was the case. And so, which is not to discredit Casey either, because she did plenty of good things as well. That's the sort of thing that can happen in the jury house in terms of the perception that people can have. You know, you have all the time in the world to just think and overthink, and you can go, well, Jackson is obviously the better player, but what if Holly has secretly been the mastermind behind Jackson the whole time? What if? And then Kat's like, oh, she definitely is. And here's why. And you're like, maybe.
Is Kat well liked enough, though? I almost feel like Kat advocating for you is like potentially working against you a little bit.
It could.
Yeah.
But she was pretty popular in the house, though. It's so hard to tell. It's so hard to read the jury because they've been in there for, you know, over a month, and we have no idea what they've been talking about. But
I think the thing that we have to think about also is that if Nicole is in the final two, and presuming that like there's not some like one in a million scenario where somebody, one of these two, brought her to the end, she would have had to have won that final three HOH. I think like she's freaking out, she's like hyperventilating, and I think that the jury loves that. If you look at like Ian and Steve and Josh, and it's like these people that like are like win the like oh my god, I can't believe I won the final, like I feel like that the jury like feeds off that. And Holly, I think, will be super bad in the final two, Taryn. I think that she's just going to be like word salad of like empowerment and like talking about like almost nothing about the game. Nothing that's going to mean anything to anybody that's on the jury. And I think that Nicole, I don't know if she'll be great, but I think that she's just going to have that like all the momentum at that point.
Big fan energy.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that there is an issue, though, that the jury doesn't even know yet that she is a fan of the game. They think that she was just a recruit and has been kind of dragged along for a while. So it's going to be hard for her to, and certainly Cliff can go in, and Cliff is not, I said this earlier, that Cliff is going to the jury house, but he's not. He's going at Final Four. He's going to go to the round table, but Cliff will only have that time at the round table to talk up Nicole's game. And I think that Cliff can be influential on the jury, but it would be much better for her if Cliff was going to the jury house and not just the round table. I feel like at the time you go to the round table, it might be too late. Just like by the time they talk to Nicole and Holly in the final two chairs, it might be too late. You know, we've seen one, maybe two, a couple of votes flip here or there based on the jury questioning, the live jury question, not the previous version where they did it for hours. But in general, most votes don't change by then. And so...
Yeah,
we're just gonna have to see.
And I know you've been talking about this a lot on the updates, that we're on a different timetable than we normally are. It's very possible that there is some sort of a change to the format, especially based on the outcome from last season, where that maybe had Tyler had a little bit more time to explain his game. Maybe the season has a different winner. We're definitely on a different trajectory right now, with where we're going down to three, a full week outside of the game, where outside of the finale, whereas last season we were on we're going from 5 to 4 at this point in time. So who knows, Allie? Who knows?
Can't wait to find.
We'll find out. We'll find out. All right, let's take some questions here.
Just very briefly, sorry. To cap off the Tommy discussion, there was something that really stood out to me during the episode today. Tommy did an exit interview with EW where they asked him what kind of, or who he would vote for, what kind of player he would vote for, and he talked about how he roots for the underdog. But who he wants to win and who he thinks deserves to win are two different things, and he will vote for who deserves to win. Now, he had referred to Nicole as the underdog when he spoke to Julie. And then I had assumed that when he said deserves, that meant obviously he doesn't want Mickey to win, but after what he's done, he deserves to win. But in this blow up that we saw him say, I do not think you deserve the money, Jackson. I think that Cliff deserves it. I think that Nicole deserves it. I think that Holly deserves it. I do not think that you deserve the money. And now this is, of course, again, reading into it to a crazy degree. So feel free to just completely ignore this, but it did stick out to me that he used those exact words and then referred to that same word deserving in his interview afterward. And it makes me wonder if Tommy is actually not a vote for Jackson. And would be theoretically a vote for Holly. I don't know where that makes him stand on the Nicole versus Holly. I think he probably would have gone Cliff over Holly. But I do think that that maybe means that he is theoretically potentially a vote for Holly over Jackson. And if Tommy is that way, and you know, he goes into the jury and Christy is feeling a certain way, I'm starting to feel like Holly has an even better chance of beating Jackson than we have been considering as well. That we may be looking at a bitter jury against Jackson.
Allie, I see that as a possibility also. I also think that that greatly improves the Macbeth / Jolly relationship odds after the season if Holly goes on to beat Jackson.
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, I think a big paycheck, like second place confetti and a girlfriend with the paycheck is a pretty good consolation prize for someone like Jackson. But
where's Sugar Mama?
I saw, Taryn, you tweet about this before we went on during the episode, and it was a very good poll. My worry is, though, or not my worry, my question about it is, like, he says before he gets evicted on Thursday, like, that was just game. None of it was personal. Like, his back was against the wall, and that's a good thing to say. Like, I wouldn't have said I was taking you because you don't deserve the money. But at the same time, it's hard to imagine him giving a vote to Jackson after that, because it was incredibly personal. So, and that'll also be interesting to see for what would be an uninteresting final two.
Yeah, I think he might give Jackson a vote still. That I, you know, he seemed to give him a lot of credit in like the interview with Julie too. So I don't know. But you know, just one other thing on this. You know, it'd be really fun though that if Holly did beat Jackson, that I think he would be like a really bad sport about it. Like I think I don't know how this, like, but just to go back, I know I talked about Rob and Amber before, but you know, when Rob lost in Survivor All-Stars to Amber, like he didn't go around and like give interviews like, hey, you know, the jury was bitter and I was a much better player than Amber was. But I kind of feel like it would be very hard for Jackson to sort of like have the cognitive dissonance that like he should have won, but he's with Holly in a relationship. I don't know how he could sort of manage those two thoughts.
I do remember a little bit of that at America's Final Tribal Council.
Maybe a little bit, but it was never like disparaging towards Amber. It was like that the jury was like, I feel like the judge, like, I did everything. I saved her. I should have won the game.
Yeah. Well,
my confetti.
Here's some evidence to that point, Rob. After Jackson won the veto, Holly went to him and said, there's no way the jury won't vote for you. You've got this locked in. You deserve it. And Jackson's like, yeah, I know. And I want you to be sitting there next to me when I win. And she was like, yes, that's what I want too. You deserve it, Jackson. And they have been talking that way all week long. Just today they were talking and he was like, they were wondering who Nicole would evict if she won the final three HOH. And he said, oh, well, she's going to evict me because she knows she has a much better chance of beating you. And Holly was like, yeah, gee, thanks, man. Mm-hmm. And he was like, what? You said it first, not me. Like he fully believes that he is winning no matter what, if he makes it to the final two, and he will be very salty if it does not happen. Against Holly.
Okay. Two questions. Is it possible that Holly, if they are the final two, says like Jackson should have your vote in the final two speeches?
I don't think so. I think that is too counter to the image that she wants to portray. I think she's going to be up there and be like, hey, look, I played my own game. If you find merit in my game, then you should vote for me. And, you know, I want to inspire little girls and so on and so forth. I don't think she will disparage Jackson. He might disparage her, which might hurt him in the jury. But I do think that she will not go as hard as she might have earlier in the season.
And then also, Rob, what you were saying about Jackson's interviews, I think what's going to be worse than that is if Holly beats Jackson, she will be going around saying that Jackson was like instrumental and deserved to win. Will be so much worse.
He was really such a stand-up guy, a chivalrous gentleman throughout the whole season.
You know, he really deserved it. Ultimately, you know, I'm happy I won, but you know, he really worked his butt off, and he really deserved it as a co-win.
Yeah. Okay, let's take some questions. This is one from Ace Ferrant. can you make that out? Okay, what did you guys think about
A is for Ant.
Okay, what do you think about Jackson's strategy to layer truths and non-truths together? He got Tommy to admit a lot of damaging information. Taryn, he did a great job with that. We've had a lot of fun with Jackson, aka Mitchie, tonight, but good, really great plan to get the ball rolling on this.
I mean, at this point, for me, it's not even close anymore. You know, Jackson is the best player of the season. I didn't realize it until he made this move. And this was before I saw him in the confrontation. The move to create the lie based on the eavesdropping itself was fantastic. But then this confrontation, how he was able to play it off. And no, it wasn't super convincing at first. And the own it thing was a bit of a mistake. But it was still enough that Nicole was like, I'm pretty sure I see through this. And then when he followed it up again after that, it was enough to finally bring the point home. He had already done enough work with Cliff that Cliff was going to help give him the assist there. What he did to make this happen, even though this was a tough call either way, was still incredibly impressive that he was able to pull it off. You know, this does not mean that he is a, you know, top tier all time player or anything like that. He has made a lot of mistakes in this game. It's you know, again, we can pick apart Nicole's mistakes, Cliff's mistakes all day day long, because when you don't win many competitions, your every decision is amplified dramatically. Jackson made a terrible decision evicting Sis over Christy. He made another bad decision evicting Nick over Christy. Then he accidentally made the right decision by evicting Jess over Christy. But those moves didn't end up mattering because he just kept winning. But this was a right move, and this was done incredibly well. And this is going to go into the all-time books, in my opinion, as a top-tier endgame move. And it was incredibly impressive. Every aspect of it really worked in a lot of different ways, in such a way that it is a little scary, but also impressive at the same time. So you have to give him kudos for that.
Ali, Terrence said that felt like that Jackson, best player in the house, and I don't think you could if he's not one, he's up there. Overall, was this a down year for players in the Big Brother house?
Yeah, I mean, when I can't dispute what Taryn's saying, but also like a lot of people didn't get a chance to play, and I don't need to like dig it. And then that could be their fault, and it could be the first half of the season issues, and that's already been discussed. But I don't want to take away from it. It was a genius, like Mickey's back's against the wall, and he comes up with this brilliant play. He eavesdrops brilliantly, and he does layer truths and non-truths to sort of like drop what he's lying about with Tommy, and then create enough confusion with the "you're playing both sides even though everyone is" and get angry about it the proper amount. That was great. I do think, though, it reminds me of what I forget if Eric or Matt said it on the Summer of Stein, that like the Dan's funeral thing is a little overrated. I wouldn't dare say that.
Yeah,
but just in the sense of like, I don't know, I think it's just as much, it was a brilliant move by Mitchie, but it was just as much that Cliff and Nicole were fooled by it, right? Like in different layers and in different ways. But I was pretty disappointed that this worked, and I think with certain other people it might not have worked and maybe should not have worked. But that doesn't, you know, you're playing chess or checkers with the people you're playing it with. And now I've talked so much about whatever I wanted to talk about that I've forgotten your question, Rob.
That's fine. Down year for the players overall. Yeah.
Well, this season truly, and I feel like this is crappy to say, but like I stopped watching this season probably before I really needed to with Bar Study, because I just was like really down about the beginning of this season and what was happening and how people were playing the game. And I'm really glad I caught up with it when I got back from my trip. No one cares about my life, but I was out of country and I came back and I binge watched the whole season, which people were like, you shouldn't do. And I'm ultimately glad I finished out the season, because the last half of the game has been like incredibly interesting. Like the last two episodes were like two of the best episodes I've seen since I've been watching Big Brother. Mm-hmm. But yeah, overall, kind of like a meh casting season in terms of strategic players.
Okay. I mean, I can say from my perspective, I think that, and I've mentioned this earlier in the season, that I think that we have, nobody is on the level of somebody like Tyler from last year, but I do think that a lot of people are on the level of like Brett from last year, like a solid sort of 7 out of 10 kind of player. We have a lot of those. And because there are a lot of them, they're keeping each other in check, and nobody's really able to come out as a true front runner. And I think that often leads you to think that like, oh, this is kind of like not great gameplay. But I think the fact that there is somebody like Jackson who was able to pull off what he did this week at the final five, and he wasn't somebody that like over like dramatically stood out to us until later in the game, because there were a lot of players that had their own strengths that were countering his and that were all playing off of each other. You even had some outsiders like Cliff who were able to work their way in and prevent the major alliances from running the game too much. Even, you know, some of the pre-existing relationships I think helped boost some of the other players into playing a little bit better than they otherwise would have. So I think that overall it's less so that it's like an overall down season. I'd say maybe even that the overall average of this cast is probably a little bit higher than the overall average of Big Brother 20, even though the highs aren't as high. And maybe some of the lows aren't, or are more, even maybe more low. But there are enough like good to above average players, I think, in this season that just kept each other in check. And I think that's why it's looking like nobody's really standing out.
Okay.
I assume Sis is an outlier when you calculated.
Yeah. She's the one that's below.
Okay, let's take this question from Mindy Bunn. It says, Jackson and Holly claim they've been more loyal to Cliff and Nicole in the game than Tommy has been. Is that true? Now, I know that Jackson and Holly have been working with them for quite some time, but when Jackson and Holly allege, Taryn, that they've never thrown Cliff or Nicole's name out there, that can't be true, right?
No, it's not true. I will say Jackson and Holly have been more loyal than Tommy has. Tommy's never been loyal to them. But I mean, that doesn't mean anything right now. Right. So,
yeah.
And they haven't been squeaky clean either. Yeah. And they know it, or they should know it, but they're denying it to themselves.
Okay. The question from Derek Unthank. Would it have been prudent for Cliff and Nicole to go to Holly with Mickey's claim that he would cut her at Final Four to at least gauge her reaction? Taryn, did that happen?
They have done that. They didn't do it on Thursday, but they did talk to her. That was when they also got a promise from her that she would cut him at the Final Four. Her reaction was essentially like, oh, man, like, yeah, I kind of figured like, oh, it's not like she went to him and they told her, and then she pretended to go have a conversation with him. And then she came back to them like, oh, yeah, I talked to Jackson and turns out we're on more of the same page than I thought. We're both evicting each other and we just get it. Mm-hmm. So it should have been a big tell there, but it wasn't.
Okay. Allie, let me give you this question from Brooke Stotts. Is Cliff Hogg the BB21 equivalent to Survivor's Rick Devins? Now, you were very opinionated about Rick Devins, but you seem to have been standing Cliff at one point. So do you feel like that they're not the same?
I don't know what answer to this is like least offensive to both of them or neither of them or what.
Yeah, I don't really. Well, you go first.
I reserve my opinion on Cliff until I follow his wife on Twitter, because I'm a full Becca Devin stan, which has really turned me around on Rick. So we'll see what Mrs. Hogg is like on Twitter before, and I'll get back to you, April.
Okay. Do we know that Shannon, Taryn? That's Cliff's wife.
Sharon.
I thought it was just the wife.
Yeah, before the wife. There was some similarity. They both left the game, both came back in with a whole head of steam. But I think that Cliff's second half of the game, I think, is a lot different than Rick Devins in the second half of the game.
Well, yeah, Devins was kind of, I'd actually equate Devins more to Jackson than Cliff.
Ooh, brutal.
For sorry, Rick Devins. Yeah. Because he was like winning competitions and like, making idols and, you know, just going full force.
Being manipulative, making everyone uncomfortable. Yeah.
Okay.
Physical threats.
All right. Question from Noah. Where did Tommy go wrong? Using his HOH on Kat, not sending Christy home during Taco Tuesday, not fighting harder in the double eviction, leaving the house meeting, all the above. Allie, do you have a thought on this of if we're going to go full Bloomberg and get into why Tommy lost? What do you think his biggest error was?
Not fighting harder in the double. What does that mean? Like he didn't throw the double. Did I miss that?
No.
So, if I'm going to go back just from here, I would say he could have almost done nothing differently in this episode, although I'm sure Taryn's going to school me and say he could have, except that he definitely shouldn't have told them about him and Christy. I think that was a crazy target to just put on his back for good measure. His logic here in this episode of like, oh yeah, I figured it would either make them trust me that I came clean after 89 days or realize I have an automatic jury vote and send me home, which they're going to do anyway. I'll defer to Taryn, who's the encyclopedia no notes champion of Big Brother, to tell me what exactly Tommy's fatal flaw was.
Well, here's the thing about like trying to find fatal flaws too. I think like we always want to know like what was the thing, what was Tommy's downfall, what was Cliff's downfall. But like I think one of the major things that we just ignore all the time is that like what is Tommy's biggest downfall in the game? That he didn't win the competitions that he needed to win.
Yeah.
That is the most major thing. Tommy lost all of the competitions from basically, or at least most of the competitions from the time he won his first.
I couldn't win.
That HOH to down to the end. Like it was Jackson, Holly, Jackson, and then Jackson again after a brief, it was a thing of Nicole. Again, like I said, like it's easy for, like if Jackson had gone home at the final eight, at the final seven, at the final six, at the final five, then we would have said there were tons of things, way, way bigger mistakes than Tommy ever made that we would point to as Jackson's downfall. But Jackson won. That's the major difference. Jackson won and Tommy didn't. There are more minor things that we can pick at with Tommy if we want to. But I think it's important to note that that is just by far the biggest thing. In terms of Thursday, I think that he should have focused more on Cliff. I think that if he had focused on Cliff, if he had gone to Cliff and said, Cliff, I want a handshake deal with you right now. I'm taking you to the final two. I think that Tommy still could have beaten Cliff in the final two, and he wouldn't have, and he doesn't even need to follow through with that deal. And if Cliff feels comfortable with Tommy, I think that Tommy stays and he has a much better chance from that point forward. But again, it's there's so much that's going on in that moment. That's pretty minor in the scope of just if he had just won a competition here or there, then everything would have been much easier.
Yeah.
Even I could have said that competition thing.
Yeah.
Should have won.
I will say that I feel like that when it was Christy and Nick up on the block and Christy was going home, I think that had Christy gone out and Nick stayed, I think that that's because then right after that is going to be the double eviction. And then we're going to end up right. I think it's the following week where I don't think Christy and Tommy end up on the block together, or like I don't think Tommy ends up on the block in the double eviction if it's not for that. And I think that he could have been a free agent earlier if he could have been separated from Christy a week earlier in the game.
Yeah, and again, like if you're able to predict that Jackson is going to just continue to win, and certainly in future seasons, I think people are going to have to start being more aware of this because it is a recent change and it does seem like a trend at this point that they are going to be physical and winnable competitions. So it would have perhaps been better for him to keep Nick in the game as somebody that can compete physically against Jackson. Mm-hmm. That could have been another selling point, but again. Overall,
he wanted Christy out and he was pretending like he didn't, and he could have done more to bury her at that point. Okay. This is Richard is adding to Taryn's point about it seemed like the edit showed Tommy being a little too complicit to stay there at the end. He was just sitting in the nom chair, not staying on top of the situation and his fate. Shouldn't he have been glued to Cliff and Nicole right before Julie called them to the live vote there? Sure.
I mean, I think you have to remember that it played out for us over the course of 20 minutes, but it played out for them over the course of 8 hours. He can't stay on top of them for 8 hours. Like, and like, if you're just following them around, they're just going to say, hey, just leave us alone. Like, get out of here. We need to discuss. And if he doesn't, then they're just like, okay, then we'll vote you out. Like, we need to discuss. Like, leave us alone. Mm-hmm. So there's not much you can do, I think.
Amanda Lynn, is Jackson's behavior a brilliant way to use Holly as a meat shield? Taryn, is that how you would describe Jackson's plan here?
Yeah, I mean, encouraging her to throw that HOH so that she's available to be evicted. I mean, why can't we live in the world where Holly gets evicted at Final Four because Jackson told her to throw the HOH? That's a much better world to live in, I just feel like. And it's unfortunate that we're not living in that timeline.
All right. This is a question for Allie. Will Jackson be a Young Buck, a Lavender Lady, or a Brit when he joins the challenge? This is because there was a great live feed update, Taryn, earlier this week where you went through the whole fight that Jackson and Holly had about one day when Jackson would like to be on the challenge. And Holly does not think that that is a great plan for their relationship. First, Allie, could you answer Lauren's question?
Oh, I was going to respond to that fight. She gave me what? Young Buck,
Lavender Lady, or a Brit?
A Brit. Well, he's not a Brit, right? Because he's not British. It's funny, the Lavender Ladies are now defunct because Amanda's having a baby. No one knows what I'm talking about, but those who do. Mm-hmm. So I think by default, he would be a young buck.
Okay.
More realistically, I think he would just be Banana's lackey.
Okay. So tell us, how would Jackson fit into the challenge world?
Well, first of all, I think Holly's totally right about not wanting Jackson to go on the challenge if they're going to be together. But to her credit, or to his credit, everyone who cheats on each other on the challenge usually ends up like married to each other anyway. So there's hope for them. Yeah, I mean, I think like he's probably guaranteed to be on the challenge, mostly because I don't like him and everyone I don't like ends up on the challenge. And also because he's like a jock who has some strategy. So I think if we're talking about the median like strategy level or the mean strategy level on Big Brother being above average to average, whatever, on the challenge, I think he's probably in the mid, like middle to high tier of strategists. So I think, especially to come from Big Brother, no offense to the Big Brother people, Paulie really has been a top strategist on Big Brother, but none of the other, I'm sure people are going to come for me, but not many of the other Big Brother players, like Josh was a buffoon last week. So I think Jackson, unfortunately, could do circles around him. So I'm sure I'll see him on my screen and learn to deal with it.
Okay. What's the watermelon situation on the challenge?
Oh, that's interesting. What is the watermelon situation? Food is definitely less of a part of the challenge than it is a Big Brother.
Okay.
I don't know if the rations are different, but I'm sure he could get some watermelons.
Okay. All right. Then Zaddy Taryn wants to know, do you think that Nicole's on her way to becoming the Ali Lasher of the Royal Rumble, coming up just short from the finish line?
I believe Liana came up just short of the finish line.
Right.
I think T-dubbed out.
Yeah.
Liana was top two, right?
Yes. Yes.
So I think maybe, was Ali top three?
No.
You didn't watch the Royal Rumble? Wow. Wow.
Well, Taryn's got a lot of things to keep track of on the live feeds, Ali. Cut him some slack.
If you were a fan of RHAP, Taryn, then you would have known that. But
I got all the cliff notes from Melissa, who watched it about 10 times, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Then if Mickey everyone take Nicole and Cliff's the final three, why does it matter? If Holly goes out fourth or fifth, why could Cliff not question that? Because we made a final four deal. It was a final four deal.
Jackson's line about this was, I'm willing to take out Holly at four, but there's no reason to keep Tommy if I'm willing to do that, because I'm willing to cut her. So by keeping Tommy, you're just making things more difficult for us. Why are you doing that unless you don't trust me? Which means, why should I cut Holly at Final Four? So there is a little bit of a logic trap that he's able to work on.
Yeah. Taryn, one of the things I wanted to ask you was that based on what it sounds like the Final Four veto was, does it sound like something that Tommy could have won?
He could have won it, but I don't think he would have. It
wasn't like a no-brainer that he would win.
No. It was, again, a lot of running back and forth. And that's a big advantage to Jackson. And it's like Jackson being able to maneuver whatever this, you know, catapult slingshot is. Tommy's not exactly like Nicole was, I think like 2.5 minutes slower than Jackson. And Nicole has consistently done better than Tommy at these sorts of things. So, theoretically Tommy
ready,
might have been
aim Jackson. Fire. My catapult isn't working. What are you going to do? Look, they had to beat Jackson at the Final Four veto. No matter which way they went, they had to beat Jackson at some point.
Yeah, and I mean, according to Jackson, if Holly had been evicted, he would have evicted Cliff at the Final Four, and he probably would have won the veto anyway. Probably would have evicted Cliff anyway. So, again, that's just another thing to add on to that pile.
Ali, should Big Brother institute some sort of like slot making challenge at the Final Four to determine the eviction? Would that help things right now?
I don't know what a slot making
like almost like a fire making challenge. Yeah. Basically, they're going to lay out all the ingredients in the kitchen and then whoever can put the slop together and eat the bowl the quickest. I guess Jackson would probably win that too.
No, Jackson would probably be disqualified, but still somehow the winner of that challenge.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Tara, will there be an asterisk on this season if Jackson wins after violating the have-not rules?
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty of people that are going to put an asterisk on Jackson's win.
Start the change.org. Yeah.
For using production as a strategy, for cheating in competitions. Yep. They're gonna find any little thing that they can and put that asterisk on.
In fairness, the slop thing is like not a little. I'm not saying there should be an asterisk, but I feel like that's kind of like a medium thing.
Medium.
Yeah,
it's I mean, a little thing. I don't.
I'm with you. I mean, like, it's definitely shady. Like, it just either do it or don't do it. Don't do it and then back off. But that's honestly, from my opinion, more on production than it is on Jackson. Like, Jackson acted like a baby. But that's what you should expect from reality show contestants.
Yeah.
It's how production responds to that matters.
To me, it's like, so, I think it's not a big deal. It's just such like an arbitrary thing. Sometimes they have, it would be like the same as if like somebody was like, had a punishment, they had to wear a costume and they took the costume off for 5 minutes. It's like, ooh, it's just like,
like eating is different than wearing the costume,
but it's not like that Survivor. It's not like you're starving. I don't know.
I was never on Survivor, but so.
Yeah, it's just such a made up arbitrary thing of like, okay, pick four people that they can't eat the same food as everybody this week. Like, yeah. I know what it's supposed to be, but it's such a not even a part of the show.
I will say though, for Jackson, it was a big deal,
yes.
And I do wonder if like that was the lowest point in his
absolutely.
Game. Really alienating people. Like, if they don't let him cheat, if they don't end have nots and he becomes a have not again, I do wonder if he is capable of winning the competitions that he did and if he's capable of being the social strategic person that he was.
And people hated him so much that week on just like on social media. Like, if you go back like to the podcast and the recaps that week, and I don't know if you could read like the live chat going on, people were dragging him that entire week. People, that was like the absolute lowest of the low for Jackson this whole season.
Yeah, that it's look, I'm being talked more and more into this asterisk.
All right, let's do one or two more questions. Scott, Don wants it at the final six. Once Jessica was gone, everyone was fine with whoever won the game. How do you feel about that now with the final four? Is everyone still deserving, satisfying winners? Allie, is there anybody from this final three? I'll throw it out there. Holly, is she deserving, satisfying winner?
A Holly, I don't care what Tommy says. A Holly win is not a great end to this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I've been thinking about Holly because I was high on her game for a good
Darren,
a good portion.
Get her out of your head. No, I don't care. I'm just kidding.
I want my mom.
Yeah,
where's mama?
So I had been high on her for a good portion of the season. A lot of people had been high on her for a good portion of the season. But then out of nowhere, she just completely seemed to, almost like Cliff this week, just lose the plot and just like completely stopped playing the game, was really bad at her reads, her decision-making, her social ability, her competition ability. It all just like seemed to just completely falter. And thinking back, I think that it's a very clear line.
Yeah.
The second Kat got evicted, she couldn't play the game anymore. I think the only reason we ever saw her as a good player was because she had Kat in the game
next to Kat.
Off of it was the pre-existing relationship, having a secret partner that she knew she could trust, that she was working with. Like, that really was a massive leg up in the first half of the game. The second she lost that piece on the board to act as a mole, keep people on her good side, give her information, rely on, the second Kat was gone, she completely stopped being effective in the game and because has continued to deteriorate ever since until we're at this point now.
I thought
so
you were going to say
says Kat is the deserving winner of Big Brother.
I thought you were going to say that at the point where she got into the big fight with Jackson, that I thought that was what you're going to say was the point where she really stopped making sense.
That was definitely, I think, a major pit stop on the road to where she is. But I think the thing that kicked it off was that I think she was just never the player we thought she was. It just seemed like she was because she had this advantage.
She had options. She was like, oh, yeah. She had the Jackson thing. She had the Kat thing. So perception was better than reality, Allie.
I do want to change my answer. I think based on what we ran out before, if Holly beats Jackson in a final two, that's hilarious. And that would be very satisfying. If Holly beats Nicole, I'm devastated. So that's where I stand on whether or not Holly's satisfying winner.
Okay. And Holly for me would have an asterisk with the whole Kat business.
Okay.
And the fact that Jackson would have an asterisk and that she relied on Jackson. So she gets you carry the asterisk.
Yeah. Okay. Allie, did you have any other notes from Thursday's live show when you were in attendance?
I do have some notes. I've been very inspired by Caitlin to just like, a lot of times I'll have notes and I don't get to read like or talk about certain items. I love that Caitlin just runs down the list of like everything she wanted to say.
Yeah, nobody's ever done that before on podcasts, where it's just like, I'm just going to literally just read my notes.
It's truly genius. Let's see how I go with it.
You don't need the music, right?
No, I don't deserve the music. But on the note of Caitlin, like the podcasting this season has been fantastic as always. I think Caitlin's been incredible. And I was like not the biggest Caitlin fan when she was on. I totally get it now. She's been great. And like having the players on has been great. Like Kemi, I think really blew me away on her podcast and on Thursday. So that's great. Also, I have in bold, if I had told you months ago that Nicole, Holly, Cliff, and Mitchie would be the final four, would you have believed me? I wouldn't have believed me. Okay. And then I'm just, you know, I'm not as good as Caitlin. I'm just going to go right down to my know-it-alls takeaway. So yes. I mentioned before that Big Brother has really become a family affair. My uncle and my brother, and I guess my mom, she's just watching this. She doesn't watch the show, have been getting into it. So I brought my brother, the other Rob, in my Big Brother life, to the podcast, and he kept turning over and was like, hot take. And they were extremely cold takes, but his hottest take was that Cliff would have won, not only won, but slayed the fake bird call competition. In
oh,
so, had to get that out there. That's pretty hot take. And also
Cliff got screwed by prank week is what you're saying.
Yeah. And both my brother and I both stan Milk with Pizza, especially in our childhood. I think that was unfairly demolished. Milk and pizza is like a classic children's combination. And, you know, you have hot pizza, you have refreshing cold milk. I haven't had it in a while, but it's, you know, it looked a little strange.
Hold on. Let's go to Taryn for the tie break.
He loves dairy.
Milk and pizza, Taryn.
No.
Are you saying milk, Rob? That's milk. Really the headline.
What?
Say
what,
it again.
Milk? What do you say? What do you say?
It's a little milky that you're saying that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do I say milk weird?
I'll have to run it back a few times.
Okay.
And then I also...
A little milk. I see what she's getting milk. At, but it's mostly milk.
Okay.
Mostly milk is disturbing to hear, but yes. And then I also have to shout out, like I'm Holly in the DR. Larry from Chelsea was a real highlight for me of the know-it-alls on Thursday.
Larry from Chelsea.
Yeah. I like standing up and being like, I live around the corner.
Yes.
And
yes.
Then he like hung out the whole time. It was great. We loved Larry. I was all the way in the nosebleeds and us, the folks back there. And I loved.
But you picked your seat. There was not assigned seating. You don't make it sound like
there were 50 reserve seats and all the other podcasters were in the front row.
Yeah.
I had to slum it in the back seat, back row, but we had a great, you know, the sexual tension. I said, this is someone with Taryn and Caitlin could only be seen from a bird's eye view. So I really was there for everybody else. And then the other thing that's totally upsetting that I wrote this, Rob, but I have to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Do you think you could do a Tommy Haunts? Like, is there a Norwegian Tommy accent? I know it's very regional, Tommy's accent, but okay. I thought of
Norwegian.
This morning when I was walking the train.
Okay. Let me...
we'll wait.
Okay. Hold on, let me listen to Tommy. Let me listen to him, and then okay. So this is from earlier tonight when Tommy was very upset about everything that was going on. Okay, here is okay.
Tommy, this is killing me.
Tommy,
this is a lie, and you need to stand up for yourself. Now.
She didn't know anything about it. Don't bring her into this.
Say any of that? I didn't.
She wasn't
say
in
any
this
of
room.
That.
Yeah, this is killing me. This is like the worst day ever.
Norwegian Italian man upset.
I don't know.
I also do feel like I'm working on the fan fiction of how Taryn and Rob dissolve their professional relationship over the tension between their competing Tommy impressions.
I don't really do a Tommy impression though.
Oh, you don't? Watch back on Thursday.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, so, you know what? Sometimes I just yell.
So much tension. The tension was palpable from Taryn on all sides.
Okay. So much tension around Taryn.
Tensiony person,
right? Like the Julie Chen bubble of yeah. of tension.
Okay. Look, it's a bubble in these podcasts, and so things really get heated.
No, but I do know what Ali is talking about. I think that's my bad that I can't hear somebody do an impression and then not also start doing it myself.
No, it's amazing. So, this is like I love it. I didn't mean to say anything to like when somebody told me I say. Yeah, no, every time Brian says something. Like, I did not mean to break the glass and have the stop. I love the dueling Tommies.
I have a tick where I just want to start, like, copying impressions when I hear them. It's like, oh, okay. So I
want. No, not that at all. It's excellent. It's all good.
Well, yeah. For the record, Rob has an infinitely better Tommy impression.
But you do a much better Jackson than I do.
All right. Please keep complimenting each other and taking responsibility.
What impressions do you do, Allie?
I'm barely surviving being myself.
See, we need
impressions.
I really want Allie to do an impression, then we'll both do one after her.
Yeah. I had one good impression on Survivor, but I forget what it was. Hmm. Or on The Challenge, maybe. Yeah. They're not good impressions. My T-Bird, I do a good Rob doing T-Bird.
Oh, let me hear.
No, you've heard it. I had to read the tweets.
That's right.
Go back to my greatest hits. I'll have someone compile my greatest okay. hits.
Maybe if we get somebody to animate the Big Brother season, then we can get the whole cast together where, you know, it'd be like The Simpsons where we each have to do a couple of the different voices ourselves. But I think we can almost have the whole cast.
Between Rachel and you guys, I think you'd be done.
Yeah. Yeah. We need a couple of people. Like, I don't know if anybody can do a Nicole. So we need a couple more people in there, but we'll get there. All right, let's talk about what's coming up. Amazing Race Canada 2019. I'm not going to give you any spoilers, but Scott St. Pierre says his friend came in second place on the Amazing Race Canada. But so this is I did not know this.
So very impressive.
Check that out.
Like a spoiler, sort of, but
yes. I mean, it's only a spoiler if you know who Scott St. Pierre's friend is. Bachelor of Paradise. Oh, John Paul Jones is on. going to be featured prominently in the week six recap of Bachelor in Paradise. Find out what Amy and Haley are talking about with the best show on television, Bachelor
Rob,
in Paradise.
Can you guess what activity? Not to step on my own plug here coming up, but have you been watching the? Did you watch the latest episode?
Bachelor of Paradise? No.
Yeah.
I have not.
Okay. Can you guess what John Paul Jones is doing?
Let's go back. Let me look at
what I could tell you.
Let me look at what John Paul Jones is doing here. Is he being drawn by an artist?
Yes. Well, by Tayshia, but yes.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
And is he wearing the hidden immunity necklace also?
Unclear about that, but I'm just very impressed that you nailed
it. I mean, that's typically the pose that you would be in. You know, I want you to draw me like one of your French girls. Yeah.
That's a good guess on your part.
Yes. Okay. All right. And then the challenge, War of the Worlds episode. Is this Wes?
This is Wes.
Yes. Okay. There you go.
I know. I just finished this episode today.
Mazel tov.
Because I was in New York. I couldn't finish it before.
There you go. All right.
It's a good one.
Check out what Allie and Brian had to say. Did Allie say yes, no after Brian said something? Find out on the next challenge, War of the Worlds 2. And then Survivor South Africa Island of Secrets finale recap. Find out what Shannon and Mike thought about the big finale of Survivor South Africa over on our wrap ups. And then, find out also Robin and Kiva need a podcast. We sent out the census to our listeners, and Akiva and I will find out who knows the RENAP listeners the best. Ali, did you listen to the census?
I did. I listened to it today.
No spoilers.
I won't say anything, but RENAP jumps to the top of my feed when I see it come. I actually downloaded this episode without Wi-Fi. So
without Wi-Fi? Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, how about that?
And these are long episodes, so yeah. That's
Mom, I hope you're not listening anymore. But no.
Yeah. Okay.
Big fan.
So also, Josh Wigler went to Fiji with Mike Bloom, and he interviewed all of the Survivor contestants for this upcoming season. On Friday, we posted part two of our interview series, and spoiler alert, part three is coming on Monday. So be on the lookout for that, as Josh Wigler is going to bring you five more interviews with the Survivor 39 contestants in our preseason coverage of Survivor 39, kicking off a week from Wednesday. Of course, Taryn's going to be back on Monday morning with the live feed update, and Tuesday morning with the live feed update, and Wednesday morning with the live feed update. Thursday morning, live feed update. And then, Taryn, do we know when the live feed's going off?
I'm not sure. We don't know what the schedule is.
Nobody knows. Everything is up. Up is down. Down is up. Okay.
Taryn, do you get excited or sad when the season comes to an end? You like relieved, or you like, what am I going to do with a free morning?
It's bittersweet.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay. All right. Taryn, are you guys going to do a look back at the games of the final three also?
Yes.
Okay. All right, coming soon. All right, LFC Roundtable, one of two LFC Roundtables left in the season, coming up Monday night. Who's up? Who's down? Sell your clicks, your clip stock.
Yeah.
Okay, Wednesday night we'll be talking about the veto. And then we'll see. Taryn, where on the street is that Ovi paid a visit to the house?
Yes, for a luxury competition. I thought we were going to see that tonight. But
yeah. That seems unheard of for them to bring back a pre-jury house guest to host the competition.
Yeah, it was weird.
Okay.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. Okay.
Also, American Ninja Warrior finale tomorrow night.
All right. Be on the lookout for that with Taryn and Lita as well. And then on Thursday night, Caitlin's going to be back here in the studio, and Andy Herron will be our guest for the eviction coming up on Thursday night. So that'll be a fun show as well. Later on this week, of course, all of this podcasting is made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, who support all of these shows, of course, that we are bringing the reality TV fans together around these crazy shows that we love. Find out more about how to become a part of our Facebook patron community and much more over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Okay. Allie, this was so much fun. Such a treat to get to talk to you on the Big Brother podcast.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Thank you to everyone for dealing with my constant fidgeting. I told Rob and Taryn and Scott this, but I am sitting on the floor using a cardboard box as a desk, using a lamp as my mic stand, and my legs and knees are totally numb right now. So I've just been slowly trying
to... We salute you, Allie. Thank you.
My life is so hard. But yeah, thanks, guys. This was great as always. Always a blast to be included on this.
You could follow at Lash Tweets on the Twitter.
You can.
What about Instagram?
That's for me.
That's for you. Okay, that's fine. I respect
that. No one needs to see anything on Twitter. Even that is like debatable.
Yes. Also, Summer Stein is coming this week. So get your questions in. Hashtag Summer of Stein or Summer of Stein at robhaswebsite.com. We'll talk with Eric. Got to see him on Thursday night, which was very fun. We'll have the UFA meter ready to go. We'll find out if his girlfriend let him keep it in the house. And much more on the Summer Side of Taryn. And what's new with you?
You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I do have an Instagram that's for the people, Taryn_Armstrong. Great picture of me and Kemi on there. So go check that out. And on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn.
Yeah,
Wow, you're so overexposed, Taryn.
I know.
I love the live feed update on Friday also, Taryn.
That was in the hotel. Yeah.
Yes. Did you go to sleep? Were you up all night?
I was asleep for like 4 hours, so not crazy bad, but pretty bad.
Okay. All right. Well, Taryn, again, we salute your commitment to the live feeds all summer long. Perfect attendance once again.
Yes. And I should thank, there was a great person standing outside of the live show that lent me his umbrella so that Kemi and I could go get smoothies in the rain. So thank you to that person. I never found out your name, but, if you are listening to this podcast, reach out to me so I can thank you. And sorry for taking your umbrella.
Do you mind giving us, some of the backstory on that? So you and Kemi were you said you guys were going to get a drink. And I was very surprised when you guys walked in with smoothies. And
look, Rob, getting a drink with me.
Yeah,
is,
no, I get it.
Getting smoothies with me.
Yeah.
Much dairy.
And so you were like walking off, and it's like, oh, it's raining. And somebody's like, here, Taryn, take my umbrella.
No, it was more like Kemi showed up and it was pouring rain. And she was like, do you have an umbrella? And I was like, I did not bring an umbrella. So then I was, there were some people who were standing under the like awning thing that were free from the rain. And I figured they might have umbrellas and they're not using them. So maybe I can borrow one. And very nice enough to lend me the umbrella. So,
okay. Karen, can I ask you, what is your smoothie of choice?
I mean, I'm good with most fruits, big, you know, strawberry, banana, blueberry, pineapple, any kind of most kinds of fruits. Always
remember when I said my knees were numb?
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry.
This is revenge.
Yeah.
For what?
We're about to get the whole smoothie recipe, Allie.
Yogurt, fruit, protein powder. Got it.
Yeah. All right. Let's put Allie Lasher out of her misery. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care. Have a good one. Bye. This episode of Rob's Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. Every car comes with its share of stories, like that ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, that luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you save by riding your bike all summer long. And while you can't put a price tag on your stories now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or to trade it in. Just go to True Car and simply enter your license plate number, watch how your car's details pop up, then answer a few questions, navigation and moonroof. Watch as they bump up your car's value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you'll know how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you could take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer is not available in all areas.